This is the Packet Pusher's weekly podcast, a deep dive on data networking which aims to inform, amuse, advise, forewarn, forearm, caution, and counsel you on what's happening in the world of data networking. Today's show is sponsored by NewArch Networks, and we've had them on the show many times to talk about their software-defined networking platform. Now, this time, they've extended their platform with a new feature based around security. And really, we've talked about many times over the years that once you've got the centralized control, the software-defined control, there's really nothing that you can't bake into these platforms. So you shouldn't be surprised to hear that NewArch Networks has a software-defined security strategy. So joining us today is Hari Krishnan, who's a senior director at NewArch Networks, to talk to us about software-defined security. So let's get straight into it, Hari. Tell us about what you're doing here with software-defined security.
Sure. Thanks, Greg and Ethan. So what we offer is, as you mentioned, NewArch has provided a software-defined networking platform, and we have had this deployed in several customers, cloud service providers, large enterprises. And what we found is that, the platform enables you to provide connectivity and policy-driven networking. Customers wanted a way to sort of make sure that they have security. Once they have a software-defined network, how do you make sure that there is enough protection, but also visibility and control that they can do with traditional networks? So we have actually built on the capabilities of our platform and provided the ability to not only do policy-based segmentation, but also provide the much-needed gap in terms of addressing the detection and the operational needs in terms of being able to remediate quickly based upon the analytics and visibility that you see in the network.
So we've got the virtualized security director, which is the controller. We've had the virtualized security platform as well, which is the whole thing. And now we're talking about using the centralized control of the virtualized services platform to actually start controlling security at the edge of the network.
Absolutely. So there is two aspects to it, right? One is controlling security at edge of the network, but also within the data center internally as well. What we see is that by and large, a lot of the data center, there's not much internal segmentation. And this is the case with, not only as you can see from large attacks, such as those in, the famous Target attack that happened a couple of years back, but also lack of segmentation overall within the enterprise. So as you pointed out, we have the elements, distributed elements, software-defined routing and security elements that provide layer 4 stateful security at the edge of the network with our network services gateway in the branch, but also within the data center, we have right where the workload connects to the network, we can enforce security policy there, whether it's embedded with layer 4 stateful security that we provide, but we can also play with our ecosystem, the layer 7 security vendors, the next gen firewall, the IPS systems, to very selectively insert and dynamically insert advanced security services when and where they need based upon the workload requirements.
So I wanted to point out something here. You mentioned the branch and that there's a gateway at the branch. But when we talk about micro-segmentation, typically we're talking about what's going on in the data center. What's the NewArch view here where you're making a big deal out of securing the branch as well?
Yeah, great question. And what we see is if you look at sort of step back and look at it in terms of the attacks that we are trying to protect against, right? And I sort of alluded to the Target attack earlier. What is happening is that a lot of these threats are just attackers trying to probe a weak entry point, and then from there laterally spread into other parts of the network. And in the Target attack case, the attacker actually came in from an external to the network, and this was a contractor, a partner, who was trying to get in. And there was not much segmentation. They were able to get into the one of the internal servers, and from there get into the point of sale terminals and being able to exfiltrate data. So it's not just sufficient to protect internally inside the data center, but it's also important to sort of step back and holistically address the segmentation issue end to end. And if you look at traditional ways of doing segmentation, it's been very complex, right? How do you now restrict a guest access or a partner access when you've got hundreds of these sites distributed all over, and just even one weak link entry point could compromise the data that you have internally inside your data center. So that's why. So what with NewArch approach, what we see is that it's not just about doing micro segmentation within the data center. That's very critical to reduce the attack surface. But it's also important to look at the overall segmentation within your enterprise, whether it's a partner coming in, your guest users coming in, who can then get into the data center.
So you're sort of saying this isn't just a, like most other vendors today are sort of pitching their SDN solution as I'm in the data center, or I'm an SD-WAN, or I'm an SD wireless is an emerging segment. And I'm sure one day we'll see software-defined campus technologies come in. You're sort of suggesting it right here that NewArch is data center and WAN, and it can go quite wide. It's the one product for all of that, not just one part of the network.
Absolutely. So, you know, we want to sort of take a step back and look at what are all the entry points in the network. It's data center is one, that where the crown jewels are, the data is that you're trying to protect, right? Whether it's going to be personal information or, you know, whether it's going to be financial information, that's critical. But it's also your entry points to the data, right? Whether it's your branch or perhaps, you know, your data is hosted in public cloud. So you want to be able to enforce policies closer to the data, but also at the entry itself. So it's right. Sort of an end-to-end solution that's needed in terms of both protection, but also being able to detect and remediate as well.
How do you control it then, right? So if I've got the data center, you know, what we've seen up until now is that the SDN is mostly working on controlling the virtual switches in the network, as well as a certain physical point in the network where you do VTEP or VXLAN termination. Talk to me about how you get this distributed policy, because what you're effectively saying is I've got all of these endpoints in the network wherever they might be, and I've got to get some policy to them to filter out the traffic. So the first step is, how do I control it all the way across the network? What's the different areas of control, and how do I do that?
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the common challenges when we talk to customers is that, yes, they want to move towards this fine-grained security model. You know, there's going to be micro-segmentation or being able to do segmentation across the branch networks. But often the challenge is, you know, how do I know what policies to set? And then I think it depends on the environments, right? If you look at some of the traditional environments, or they're moving to cloud, they don't quite know, for example, what are the actual protocol ports the application uses, or they may have some idea of it, but they want to make sure that, you know, there is not, the policies are tight enough that, you know, they're not allowing flows that they shouldn't, that violates their policies. Mm. So I think first step is getting visibility into what's going on. I think that is something that we provide, because as you pointed out, we have our software on the virtual switches closer to the workload, so we can actually see all the flows, but not only flows in terms of the IPs and protocols and ports, but also we provide contextual information. And the context could be an application tier, for example. A context could be an environment where that application is running. So we sort of take that and present it in a way saying, hey, you know, here is my application that is running in my production environment or a test environment. And there is flows between the front end of the application as well as the back end, or between the web tier and an app tier, or it could be a very complex application, very distributed application. And, you know, you have many sort of this logical tiers for that application. You can actually visualize that and use that to sort of either update the policies or just even make sure that your policies are sufficiently, pruned and confirmed.
Yeah,
that this is the right set of policies.
So this leads to micro-segmentation too, right? Because if you're controlling the rules on a virtual switch interface or a physical switch interface, you know, whether it's ingress or egress according to the device itself, because it depends, you know, where your firewall is. If it's actually a next-generation firewall, and I think, you know, you're talking about controlling next-gen firewalls, but it's about once you've got that control at the edge, you can build end-to-end segmentation from the data center right out to the WAN.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of the, one of the key points here is being able to do this in a very heterogeneous environment, right? So if you sort of take this first step of being able to prevent, detect and remediate, and being able to prevent the prevention step that we're talking about, how do you do that in a way that is not only for virtual workloads, but also it's containers, you know, VMs, you got bare metal workloads. So customers, a lot of the enterprises that we are talking to, they are having this heterogeneous environment, and being able to provide a policy layer that spans these heterogeneous environments is very critical, because at the end of the day, you know, how do you ensure if let's say your web tier is running containers, your backend database is still virtual, you know, you still want to have a very fine-grained policy for micro-segmentation between them. And that's really what we are offering with this is a common policy layer that can be enforced in the virtual switch, whether it is running in VM or containers or bare metal.
Hari, can you dive into that a little bit? Because you've mentioned so far virtual switch and that where Nuage lives is in, at the virtual switch layer. But then you've mentioned container support, bare metal support, et cetera. So how are you doing enforcement on a box that doesn't have a virtual switch?
There's couple of ways we can do that, right? So one is, I think a classic example is bare metal workloads. For that, we have gateways. So you can actually connect the bare metal workloads through the gateways where we can enforce policies there. The second angle is actually on the for Linux workloads, we actually have a software version where we can actually use policies and configure virtual switch. Even though it's not running in a virtual environment, we can actually use the Linux constructs and enforce policies there. And we have something called VRSB, which is our software version for bare metal workloads. So we can do it in the physical gateway. For Linux workloads, we have a solution where we can do it right at the host.
So on that Linux version where you do it right at the host, it's not an agent, it doesn't sound like, but it's a piece of software that you load onto that host directly.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one of the key things with the approach is being able to do that without having to put an agent inside every OS, right? So for the Linux workloads, we are using Linux constructs, right, to be able to use policies there and being able to provide, you know, isolation using Linux namespaces and so on. So this is, again, we take advantage of the Linux constructs to be able to enforce policies and also being able to provide that isolation for workloads running on Linux.
Well, you said namespaces, so I'm assuming then that's what you're leveraging in container environments as well?
Absolutely, yes. Our host software will detect what environment it's running, right? If it's containers, then, you know, we are basically using the constructs to be able to enforce policies, whether it's a Docker container or other container forms. You're not married to that. We can also tie this in into an orchestration system like Kubernetes. So we can actually have this working when you spin up containers up and down in Kubernetes, the policies are enforced automatically. You don't have to, clearly in that kind of dynamic environment, the manual is out of question. So we can do that, using Kubernetes. We have the plugin for Kubernetes to be able to take the policies from there and enforce it.
Mm-hmm. This concept is extensible inside the data center from virtual switches to containers to working with the Kubernetes policy engine, the Kubernetes which orchestrates the containers, and also gets out to the SD-WAN edge. So how do you just very briefly control in the WAN environment? What's the control mechanism there?
Yeah, so for the WAN environment, we've got our own network services gateway, we call it NSG, that is actually enforcing policies that are coming in or exiting the branch, right? So this is part of our SD-WAN solution, but the key thing is this can work seamlessly with the data center. So you're ultimately, your branches are connecting to your data center, right? People are, users are accessing applications at the end of the day. So we can enforce policies right at the edge, at the perimeter, where the branch connects to the wide area network.
And that to me is pretty key. That's something that's unique, I think, at this point in time, is you're the only people really saying data center to WAN, we can come up with a policy and a control mechanism that does both at the same time.
Yes, that's a very key differentiator for us. And I think part of the reason is when we started building this out, we started with the vision of providing ubiquitous connectivity, right? That's software defined. And so, yeah. You know, for us, it was a very natural extension. And because of the place we were in, we were able to see we have the access to the data. We're sitting right in the data with the logical context of what we are trying to protect. So we were able to enforce those same policy mechanisms at the branch as well as in the data center or in the cloud.
Ah, you said cloud, finally. I wasn't sure I'd heard it before. So that these protections, you can extend them up for hybrid cloud or public cloud workloads as well?
Yes, so we have for example, just recently we had a few months back announced a version of our gateway for AWS. So we have a gateway that connects in the public cloud. So that's, and then we are looking at other, Azure and Google GCE as well. So to extend this into the other environments as well.
Okay, so just to review here, just what we're talking about, software-defined security, the Nuage platform will allow me to secure workloads, micro-segmentation in the data center, which we've talked about a lot on Packet Pushers. We can extend segmentation into the branch using a gateway, that a WAN gateway. We've got workload disparity. We can go on whether it's hypervisor-based or bare metal or containers. And there's different mechanisms and ways that the Nuage policy engine can get at those sorts of workloads. And that is also true for hybrid and public cloud. So that's, I think we just checked all the boxes. That is really pervasive.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think one of the key things here is, you know, as we solve this, to actually solve this prevention problem effectively, you need visibility, right? That's, I think, the other key aspect is how do we define these policies in the first place. But you got it right, spot on. I mean, it's, I think, the ability to sort of enforce these policies end to end, whether it's the data center,
okay.
Or
external. So exactly right. Great ability to do the prevention, to actually have all these different enforcement points for the policy. And so then the big challenge is, how do you create the policy? Because when you've got something like this, the policy is just by definition going to be very complex, you know, and a human being is not going to be able to sit there and build out rules and rules and rules. So how do we get that initial policy built and rolled out?
Yeah, so the good thing with this, with the approach we have taken, is that the very fact that we have the context in terms of how these workloads are grouped provides us to and the real estate we have in terms of the ability to sort of see the traffic that is coming into the host through the virtual switch, and providing that information back in a centralized way through our analytics engine, you know, we can enable the users to be able to see what flows are actually there with the context, and to actually build out or update their policies or tighten their policies to be able to lock who can get access to what applications, right? So that's, I think, one of the key things is that our analytics capability, the ability to sort of see the traffic with the context that we have and present it back to the administrators to be able to define this policy, I think, is one of the key things.
In other words, the point you're making, you guys are down at the network layer. You're seeing all the traffic that is flowing in and out of these different endpoints. And therefore, you can take all of that flow data that you're seeing, pump it into your analytics engine, and then do a presentation to an operator or to someone who's going to write policy and say, look, these are the flows that we're seeing. So this is your starting point to build policy. We've noticed traffic going from this endpoint to these other places on these ports. And again, that's like your starting point to get that policy created.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the some of the examples here is, you know, as you said, people may already have locked down the environment between prod and test, so they may have isolated virtual networks created for those spanning branch or data center or cloud. But then within this, they can then see what actual flows are happening between these different application tiers, and then use that information to update or tighten their policies.
So when you say contextual, is that what you're getting at, the entirety of the flow between different tiers of the app?
Yes. So give you an example, right? So if we have the classic example of an application with multiple tiers, one of the things that, let's say if it's in a container environment, Kubernetes has this concept of labels where you can actually group these containers and say, okay, you know, this, you associate a web label to one, a database label to one, and so on, right? Or it could be in an OpenStack environment where you have security groups, where you're grouping these VMs and associating some kind of a label through a security group name, right? That is the context that we get from the orchestration system. And your policies typically that you want to define are based on that context, right? At the end of the day, we want to keep the policies closer to the user intent. So instead of dealing with IP addresses and VLANs and subnets and so forth, you can actually have policies that are defined based upon the context. That is what you're trying to protect, right? And sort of make it as close as possible to the way that a security administrator thinks about what to protect. And that's the context that we already get by tying into these orchestration systems in terms of how these workloads are spun up. And we use that context to provide visibility in terms of the flows that are happening between these different workloads, and help that, you know, in the process, we help the administrators to define policies based on that context.
So this is kind of a big deal. You're not just looking simply at flows. You're also pulling data back from the orchestration systems that are putting the workloads out there. Because you mentioned labels, for example. So like you can launch a Docker container with specific tags on them. You can pull all that information together and add that to the flow information to provide context.
Exactly, yeah. And I think the context and the labels are very key here, right? Because especially you mentioned, you know, they're talking about this container environment, for example, it's just almost impossible to be able to define these policies on a per container basis, right? So it's almost a necessity there. But even in sort of traditional environments, you don't want to be defining this based on IPs when the workload can move and, you know, they are brought up and down, right? So I think this context gives the ability to sort of define what those policies are. And if without this, what we actually see is that people are not really, you know, doing much segmentation within the data center because it's really a hard problem, right? So I think the ability to sort of have this context is helping them actually define policies because they can actually, put their arms around it, think about what I want to protect. And without that, it's just really complex.
Yeah, IPs and ports are not enough. You've got to have additional metadata about those workloads to really be able to make sense out of it.
Exactly.
That's why firewalls are such a problem today is because, you know, once you create a firewall rule with a source IP, source destination IP and port numbers, there's no context, there's no dynamism, there's no flexibility in that it's fixed and everything gets nailed to the floor.
Let alone that they're ephemeral, all of those port numbers. They can change as the container profile changes, as the application workload grows and contracts based on demand.
Yeah, you can keep them purely based on the grouping. You don't have to necessarily tie it to the ports, right? But at least you have the additional labels to define the policies rather than having to deal with IPs. And I'll tell you a story where, you know, I was talking to one of the customers where they are struggling with this firewall ACL management, right? And for them, and I was actually asking, you know, so what exactly do you mean? I mean, sort of going into the next level. And one of the things they were actually telling me was that it's gotten so complex. They've got like over hundreds of thousands of rules in the firewall. They don't know what when an application is decommissioned, you know, so the ACLs are just left there, right? Stale ACLs. They just keep growing in one direction to the point that where they have biweekly meetings to actually, you know, prune the ACL list. So it's a real challenge where people are dealing with these complex ACLs and that model just cannot work in this, you know, very dynamic environment. I mean, even if they want to meet, they'll probably have to meet every day, maybe.
I'm just laughing, remembering an annual meeting where there were certain ACLs that we would sit and review that had hundreds of entries. I can't imagine having to meet every 2 weeks and trying to manage hundreds of thousands of entries. It's just, exactly. It's not real. It's not possible to actually do that.
Exactly. And I think this is where I think, the ability to sort of do segmentation is helpful. But I think the other interesting thing with an SDN-based approach, right? I mean, clearly to do this, you can use many different ways, right? I mean, one is using the software-defined networking layer as a way to do that. But you can also do things like, you know, guest OS agent-based approach as well. I think the challenge there, at least, from a networking perspective, and we talked to some of the folks there, right? It's really of operational challenge. You got to deploy these agents in each of the endpoints. Again, it's hard to manage, right? The other aspect with doing it in the networking layer is, you know, by tying security with networking layer is you can do things that you can take action based upon the network constructs. And kind of an example of that is service insertion. If you want to be able to selectively do layer 7 security services, for example, based upon policy, you know, when you do it at the workload itself, you don't control the networking, right? So I think that's another reason why, you know, doing this in networking helps, because at the end of the day, when we are moving from an old paradigm to the new paradigm, people still want to have those advanced controls. So, you know, building it, the whole set of security stack at one vendor is not a feasible thing. So you want to be able to partner with the ecosystem, work with the ecosystem in a way that, you know, customers have the choice to be able to expand beyond the traditional or beyond the layer 4 security controls into advanced security services, right? So I was talking with a large retailer, I think a few weeks back, where they were trying to build this container environment and they still were asking, you know, there's security guys there asking, okay, hey, can I insert next-gen firewall, right? They had, the names, the big names of next-gen firewall they were already using. But they want to be able to, just because they moved to this new architecture with containerized application environment, that doesn't mean that they can't have those, right? So they want to be able to insert these security services based upon the workloads they're trying to protect.
So just to wrap up that, there's a piece. So once we've done the control, we talked in the first section about control. Now we're actually talking about visibility and how you see it. Because once you get, once you're saying, I've got these control points distributed all around the place, now you need some tools that can help you make the rules to visualize what the flows are so that you can react, so that you can say, that flow shouldn't be there, I need to block that, or that's my normal flow, I need to be able to permit that. And what you've also, I think, summarized is you've said, like, we use our flow visualization tools or flow mapping tools as part of your VSP to be able to do that. And then you're actually then doing some network security monitoring. So with the what is the equivalent of access control list, you're actually saying, I can monitor the hits against those and start to do some security monitoring based on that.
Exactly. Again, it comes back to what customers are seeing is, okay, I have these existing ways to do it in my current environment, and now I'm moving to these that I still need to be able to do the similar things I want to do, being able to monitor what's going on within this SDN environment, right? I think a lot of the controls today are, a lot of the security investments are in preventative controls, but there's a gap when it comes to detection and response, right? That's why, if you look at some of the latest research, it's been, in terms of the data breaches, over half a billion records were breached in just first half of 2016. And I think a lot of this is because, there's underinvestment in terms of being able to efficiently do not just the prevention inside the data center, but also the detection and response as well.
I would argue with it's not underinvestment in security. There's an overinvestment in the wrong tools. So
that's another great way to put it. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of investment going on in security, right? I mean, hundreds of millions in large banks, but it's just lot of that is focused on prevention. Yes, they do have some kind of CM tools, to be able to correlate this data from various sources, log data, alerts, and so on. But when it comes to detecting a lot of traffic within the data center, people are not monitoring it, right? It's just...
Well, the thing about application firewalls is it gives you the first step in this visibility, but it doesn't reach outside the firewall. You actually need something that says, where's the source, where's the destination? And even if you put an application firewall inside of a standard enterprise, say, demilitarized zone, like DMZ or, firewall cluster, you've still got such an enormous amount of effort just to make things work that actually detecting things that are not working or the things that you actually want that are breaching security policy or breaching security, you can't detect them because everything's so hard to do. And I think this end-to-end security automation or this with combined with visibility tools is a much more a step in that direction, which leads us into the question of security automation. Now, you're saying here that you've got a dynamic security automation tool as part of this. So once you've done prevention, you need detection and configuration. You've done that. And now you're talking about dynamic security automation as a way of responding. Let's talk about that. Now, give me a pitch into what that dynamic security automation is.
Yeah. So as you pointed out, right, detection will help you figure out if something, some attack has happened. It's not that there was an alert that wasn't sent. In fact, I think one of the tools they had actually sent an alert. But picking one alert to respond to when you've got like hundreds of thousands of alerts is a big deal, right? So how do you actually get, the security analyst to be able to even get their attention on that when there is, just tons of these events and alerts popping up, right?
The joke is the world needs more alerts. we don't just need alert, we need lots of alerts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We need a way to figure out the alert, and that's a hard problem, right? And I was actually talking with a CSO a couple of weeks back in one of the conferences, and he was saying that his number one priority is to increase the productivity of the organization by just reducing this. How do you get from thousands of alerts they were seeing to those 10 or few tens of it that they can actually take action, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is where I think the automation has a key role to play, and SDN, because the way that SDN can play a role in this, I think is a natural fit. So to give you an example, oftentimes one of the challenges with being able to automatically quarantine is that you may be shutting off service to the user, right? So you can, if you just act on every alert and say, hey, you know what, there is some alert caused by the source. Let me just block the source. That's just not possible because it may be a false positive. So this is the challenge, right? How do we figure out which one to respond to, and you know, how do we quickly respond to that? And the way sort of we address that is, you know, for most part, you don't, layer four security is enough, right? You can essentially use prevention and detection at layer four. But when there is something unusual happening, in this case, you know, because we have policies, we can actually say, okay, is this source causing lots of policy violations, right? Maybe the support scan, before you actually do an attack, there's a recon activity that's happening, finding out vulnerable systems. That's just one example, right? It can be any of these sophisticated targeted exploits that people are trying to do. What we do is, based upon those abnormal activity, we can dynamically take action. And the action doesn't have to be always quarantine, right? The action could be, I want to selectively now look at this traffic from the source more closely. So I can deploy my IPS system, for example, or next-gen firewall very selectively without having to have all the traffic, east-west traffic, going through IPS and next-gen firewall. And that's, again, a very judicious way to sort of use those advanced controls right when you need it dynamically to be able to even block those, mitigate those while the attack is happening.
Ari, that's sort of it's actually kind of a hard thing to do, because normally we would have firewalls or IDS systems in line to do that, which, you know, modern data center with those dynamic workloads, you can't do it that way. But even so, you as the interception point, if you will, where traffic is flowing through you, an anomaly is detected. It's not as simple as quarantining. I need a firewall, or I need, you know, some higher level inspection device to handle this. You've got to steer that traffic to that device to make that happen.
Exactly. This is why I think it's a hard problem, right? When you can't do that in the manual world with SDN. Based upon the analytics, you can use that information to say, okay, you know, I'm now seeing something abnormal. Now I want to be able to dynamically install a policy and take an action, that action being service redirection, which again, SDN can naturally do. And so it's just sort of combining these two, you know, combining the analytics capability, because you get visibility to all the flows, and then combining that with the ability to take policy action and automate the policy, whether it's inserting services or I want to now mirror this traffic through a security analyzer that's going to look into the packet more deeply beyond just the flows. So those types of things are possible. So, you know, if you look at that, security analyst or the situation the CISO is facing, where you have lots and lots of alerts, yes, you will also get an alert for this, but they can go back and look at that alert. By then, the action would have been automated. And they're not shutting off users. They're just basically saying, now I want to dynamically send this traffic through this pool of firewalls, right? Without this SDN, or without the ability to sort of spin these up in a dynamic fashion that is enabled by cloud, as you point out, this is not possible. So this is, again, because of the way that, you know, the cloud has evolved, the SDN technology has matured. I think this is where I think these things are possible, these set of use cases.
The traffic steering that you're doing there, then, that kind of implies I've got Nuage everywhere to make that happen. What do I have to do to get the traffic steering done? Tunnel traffic between two Nuage vRouters to achieve that?
Yeah, so what you basically have, create, let's say, a pool of these security services, right? I would have, let's say, an next-gen firewall or an IPS system that you want to steer to. So you'd have this pool instantiated, and depending upon the solution, there are solutions out there that can also auto-scale that capacity as well. And beyond that, it's a simple matter of moving that endpoint from one policy group to another policy group. So what it means is that, you know, you can have something called a suspect category. Think of it like when we talked about the labels, you're just labeling that endpoint based upon what the type of alert you are seeing. So if that source is labeled as a suspicious, you know, with a suspect label, then based on that, you can have a policy to say anything from that suspect label will be sent to this pool of advanced security services that you have, right?
Yeah.
But those security services are things that you own, which might be an IPS or a next generation firewall or a proxy scanning engine. So instead of doing what we do today, like, you know, layer four redirection or, you know, IP routing, some sort of fancy IP routing for endpoints, you'd just be able to dynamically flip the flow in or out of your existing security tools.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this
is like you're offering new these tools. You would use your existing tools. You're not changing the way your security works.
Key point. Yes. Very key point. Yeah. You leverage your existing investment, but use them more judiciously, right? You use them when you need it.
Well, I like to think so. Yeah. So you don't like if you spent a lot of money on an IDS or an application firewall or, a data loss prevention solution of some ilk, you want to make sure that it's being used to some extent, although a lot of those technologies are very legacy and don't have a lot of relevance going forward. So the thing in the back of my mind is, as things encryption rises on the internet, your ability to intercept traffic becomes more and more restricted. So you need new ways to change the way your security model is. And if you're building a DMZ or a security solution that can't flexibly reroute flows to different tools, like, oh, this flow is HTTPS, but it can't be inspected because the company uses certificate validation, source validation, well, you need to be able to scan it some other way, and you need to be able to dynamically redirect those flows as the protocols change. What about if you've got proxy servers running HTTP 1.1, and now you're seeing the rise of HTTP 2 on the web, we're seeing even Quick Protocol, that stuff may not be in your security portfolio. How do you start to handle those? What are you going to do to provide security scanning? So getting, and moving away from this, my networking works by using WCCP or some layer 4 performance PFR redirection, you need to be able to flexibly reroute. And that's what I think this dynamic security automation means for me, is the ability to say traffic goes to this security tool or that security tool. Oh, hang on, I've got something new happening. I'll now need to send that traffic along this match to that security tool over there instead.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think also the other aspect of this is, one is about redirection to those based on analytics. The other is also to deal with this, the alert, the analyst that's just slammed with these alerts problem, right? Where we can actually do local correlation within the SDN environment and then send a much more higher order alert, a filtered alert to upstream to a tool, a CM tool, right? A security incident event management tool that can now take this and correlate it with few other things outside of the SDN environment to really generate a higher level alert, right? And then from there, we can also have incident response workflows to quarantine, right? And that's where I think we need to be careful with when you do quarantine. I think, at this point, while we want to get to an automated mode there, I think it's at this point, people want to, when they want to completely quarantine something, they want a human, an analyst to actually kind of look at it and say, okay, yes, I want to isolate it. So there's a role SDN plays there as well. With the software-defined security, we can actually do the local aggregation, correlation, and throw in an alert within based upon the thresholds that we see or abnormal activities we see, and then pass it on to a higher order system to be able to then generate an alarm to quarantine.
I like that. That ability to be flexible and move stuff around is what excites me, because I've built so many of these security structures where things just get locked down and this is the only way something can work, and then all of a sudden something breaks and you've got no way of reacting and saying, I want to send this traffic flow, I can't send this via the proxy server anymore, I need to run it past an IDS or whatever the solution might be. And or even more uncommon is, I need to replace this proxy with that something else. So if I could redirect flows on some arbitrary basis, it gives me new tools, which I like.
And Hari, correct me if I'm wrong, but this whole scheme would work from the branch as well. So if I wanted to take interesting traffic that's originating from the branch, send it into a central location that's got all my fancy scanning and inspection equipment, I could do that, right?
Absolutely, yes. So all these sort of dynamic models are, sort of location independent in some way. So you can have the same policy enforced on on the branch gateway that's connecting to the WAN or the internet, right? So then you can steer traffic from originating from, it could be a particular network within the branch where maybe that endpoint was infected and that's now trying to scan and trying to get to the data center, probing the assets inside the data center or applications. And now you want to sort of take those traffic from that subnet dynamically and steer those traffic. So absolutely, yes. The same model applies there as well.
Well, I think we are coming to an end of today's show. We've just talked about the three major parts of what New Arch has been doing, is taking their software-defined platform and moving it from the data center into the WAN, and now today's adding some security features as part of that. Now, Hari, if customers are thinking about getting into this, where's probably the best place for them to start thinking about it? Is there a particular use case that customers just light up when you start talking to them about it?
Yeah, I think the key thing is to sort of look at it holistically, right? So what have they got, taking stock of what they have from a prevention perspective and detection, being able to respond. I think those sort of take a step back and look at what they've got in terms of these categories. And again, this is a model that Gartner has even proposed. They say, you know, a good way to sort of communicate your security strategy internally in your organization is to sort of look at this in these buckets and see what tools they have, what mechanisms they have. And oftentimes, one of the things that among these three, when I sort of start talking to customers about this, is yes, they want to get to the policy, they want to have more segmentation in the data center. But I think one of the key things they really like is, you know, I get immediate value by looking at the visibility part of it, right? I think the visibility is a great starting point, sort of a foundation, both for being able to define the right policies to lock down the network, but also use that for detection and being able to use the automation to respond as well. So I think sort of taking a step back and look at it holistically, both from not only inside the data center, but also at all the entry points to the network, right? As the branch locations are important, their assets are in the cloud. So what are sort of my ways to deal with it from a preventative control, from a detection standpoint, yeah, and response across these?
I think it's really key to understand the flexibility here, or the changeability, that you can start to direct flows according to, you know, obviously you can create micro segmentation by using filter lists, and we've been talking about that, you know, in its simplistic form. But at a security level, you know, the mobility of endpoints doesn't just apply to the data center, it applies to the WAN as people move from site to site in the WAN. And I think over time we'll start to see, you know, products like, you know, software-defined security from Nuage, the virtual network security, will start to reach for that. But it's this flexibility to say, I want this flow to go to that device and apply a security strategy based on flow recognition. That changeability or that fungibility, I think, really changes the way SDN can be seen by a lot of people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is, I think, a very key part of it, right? Because a lot of the talk on SDN has been around, you know, micro-segmentation, but looking beyond that into the visibility, the analytics, and then the automation part based upon what you see in the network to take dynamic action. I think that really is a game changer. And there is a lot of things in terms of being able to deal with the attacks quickly is very important, because a lot of these attacks, I think, takes a few minutes to get compromised, right? If you can do something dynamically without having an analyst to sort of take this and then trigger an action, is going to be very critical.
Well, Hari, thanks a lot for coming on the show today, and to Nuage for being a sponsor. If folks want to find out more about Nuage Networks, where on the internet do they go?
Yeah, definitely. We have our virtualized security services in our website, nuagenetworks.net, where we have our security solution. We also have our partner ecosystem, security ecosystem, where we describe how we work together with our partners as well. So definitely nuagenetworks.net, where they can go into the virtualized security services, learn about it. My Twitter handle is Virthari, Virthari, where again, you can find additional information around, you know, things that we come out and from a security perspective as well. And again, thank you again for the podcast. And you know, hopefully, you know, this was helpful as well for the audience. And we'll look forward to hearing more from the audience.
Yeah, and you as the audience can again reach out to Nuage Networks via at Nuage Networks at Virthari if you want to ping the gentleman that was chatting with us today on the show. And, you know, tell him you heard about him on Packet Pushers. We'd really appreciate that. And you can find this and many more of our podcasts along with our community blog over at packetpushers.net. We thank Nuage Networks today for being a sponsor. Follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can like us on Facebook, and please rate us on iTunes. That would be a very nice thing for you to do for us. Last but not least, remember that too much technology would never be enough.